Now, we all remember the great radio shows and movies of the past, but whatever happened to the short features at the theater? That's right, you guessed it, the now-defunct serials. Surely you trivia fans will remember when Billy Baxton first discovered the power of Captain Marvel. Well, it was in 1941. I want you to listen, please, as Billy Baxton is given the mysterious secret of Captain Marvel by an ancient old white-haired wise man.
But who is Captain Marvel?
You are, my son. All that is necessary is to repeat my name. Shazam, the wisdom of Solomon. The strength of Hercules. The stamina of Atlas. The power of Zeus. The great courage of Achilles. And the speed of Mercury. You must never call upon this power except in the service of right. To do so would bring the scorpion's curse upon your own head. And now, my son, repeat my name and return to the rescue of your friends.
Shazam!
Ralph Byrd spanned three generations as Dick Tracy. He lived and died with this identity and covered radio, movie serials, and television. Now, here's an interesting little piece of business from an early movie serial.
What do you want? The complete plans for your precision machinery. Come on, where are they?
It's taken most of my money and many years of hard work to perfect that machinery.
I haven't time to argue. Sit down. You have 2 minutes to produce those plans.
Thank you very much. Mr. Trent was only in for a short time, Mr. Tracy. He received a telephone call that upset him very much, and he left immediately.
Do you know where I could reach him?
He said he was going home.
Thanks. We'll see him there.
The Shadow played on radio for over 20 years, but the movie serials were just as exciting. Listen to the voice of Victor Jory. Alias Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow.
You fool. By coming here, you put yourself completely in my hands. I suppose you imagine you know who I am.
I've known for some time. Your magic won't save you. The day of the Black Tiger is nearly finished.
You're wrong, Shadow. The Tiger's day has just begun.
Gangbusters had a long run on radio, and its opening rattle of bullets promised to thrill a minute. Bet you heard this one before.
Calling the police, calling the G-Men, calling all Americans to war on the underworld. Universal presents Gangbusters.
Fellow citizens, you are listening to the voice of death. I believe you are alarmed at the spread of a reign of terror in your city. I and the League of Murdered Men return from our graves to take revenge on those who sent us there.
Remember those famous arch-villains of the Saturday movie screen? Don Winslow versus the Scorpion!
Winslow must not be allowed to reach Seattle. Our plane could intercept his bomber very easily.
An excellent idea. Another mysterious crash at sea.
Precisely.
The masked Marvel fights Sakima.
Which one of these men braves death, uncovering a vast Japanese spy ring? Who jeopardizes his life, foiling saboteurs? Who faces danger every moment, protecting military secrets from the enemy? Who relentlessly fights his country's traitors?
The masked Marvel has broken up the most dangerous band of saboteurs this country has ever seen.
Who is this Masked Marvel?
Yes, that's what I'd like to know.
Yeah, who is he? That's what the public wants to know.
Are you going to talk?
No.
Put her in the pit. Bring it down. Slowly.
The Crimson Ghost.
Who are you?
I'm known to the police and the FBI as the Crimson Ghost. Under my influence, you will relinquish your willpower and become my slave. First, we'll destroy all communication systems, leaving the police helpless to stem the tide of panic and disaster. Why, my power is irresistible. Nothing can stop me.
the spine-tingling adventure of the Master Key.
Fellow Nazis, the Master Key will now address us. One of Germany's greatest obstacles to world domination is the industrial might of the United States. We need billions to subdue that might. And now we have the means of getting them, the Orotron. With this machine, we can produce unlimited gold. With that gold, we shall buy control of the key industries of this nation. And so the industrial might of the United States will never be used against us when war comes. Donahue.
M2 replying. I wait for orders from the Master Key.
Proceed with your plan for Professor Elwood Henderson. You yourself make certain of its success.
Crash Corrigan in the Undersea Kingdom.
A fool, when you do succeed in sending them to the bottom of the sea, Atlantis will rise once more to its former place in the sun, and you will be ruler of all things.
Start the disintegrator.
The entire metropolitan area of Sinclair is in ruins. Thousands dead, hospitals burning, all communication cut off. Red Cross is appealing for doctors, special trains are rushing supplies to the stricken area. Governor of the state declared martial law, rushing a militia to the scenes of the disaster. Stand by for further announcements.
The Black Widow.
Burns' death is the fourth in the series known as the Black Widow murders, because the poison used is similar to the venom of the well-known spider.
Which has baffled the police. And Stephen Colt, the well-known writer of detective fiction, will investigate the killings on behalf of the Clarion.
This I gotta see. A storybook gumshoe trying to find us.
Spy Smasher and the mysterious Dr. Satan.
Alan, I thought you were killing that plane crash in France a year ago.
So did everyone. Even the news service I reported for. That's why I became Spy Smasher, so I could fight the Nazis on their own ground. Now it's time to fight them here, in the United States.
Now will you admit you're a secret agent for the United States government?
No.
Captain Durand, you know this man?
I have never seen him before, Herr Lazar.
We know him.
A Spy Smasher.
You'll have your firing squad ready in an hour.
The effect of Dr. Satan's drugs have worn off. I'm not obeying any more of his orders.
You're going to obey his last order. As soon as I release Mr. Scott, I'm going to turn you over to the police.
Blackhawk.
This is what started the fire.
What is it?
It's some kind of a firebomb. Foreign make.
This is the leader.
Boris has returned with a prisoner. He did not succeed in his mission.
Does Boris know the penalty for failure?
Yes, sir. We all do.
Return with me to our native land. It's fighting for its freedom.
No. It's the Blackhawks who fight for liberty and freedom. I will return to them.
You will do as I order.
Hop Harrigan!
Your comic strip and radio hero leaps to the serial screen to grapple with a mad scientist intent on harnessing the power of the sun to destroy the world.
He has perfected something that is the most terrific power the world has ever known.
You've no idea how he generates it?
Ooh, I have an idea, but I'm not sure of it.
Well, what do you think?
I think he has harnessed the power of the sun.
The Green Archer.
Magnificent. Better than I expected. This is a haul worthwhile.
All right. Break it down. Recut the stones, melt the settings as usual. Get at it so we can cash in on them. Righto.
Why, this is the key to the castle. I'll get dead.
Wait a minute. If you know attention to that, it may be some kind of a trick.
But it might not be. According to the family legend, the Green Archer should aid it.
Ace Drummond and the Dragon.
I have summoned you here because communication over the prayer wheel has become too dangerous.
We help it if Ace Drummond got hold of one of our wheels?
Never mind that now. Drummond is on his way to our hideout. He must be eliminated. That is your job, Boris.
Not me. I'll do anything else you ask. But I'll not go up against Ace Drummond again.
So, you're afraid of Drummond. Is that it?
Yes, I don't care who knows it.
You mean you refuse to obey the Dragon's command?
I'll do anything else you ask.
Very well. I have other plans for you.
Probably the most famous movie serial hero of them all was played by Buster Crabbe. Still remembered for his portrayal of Flash Gordon, here's a segment from one of his earlier serials, Buck Rogers.
Buck, they smashed the rockets. I can't fire them. Help me open the release valves and the oxygen tanks. If they explode, they've torn to atoms.
Buddy, take the controls. The portholes are giving way, Buck. That's no use. The heat has melted the valve head. Move, buddy. Buddy, open the airlock. That's no use. The heat's jammed the door. Stand back, woman. Down you go. Get to the outside door.
Buddy, you take the radio.
Go on.
Remember when the hero was about to be trampled to death by a herd of buffalo or cut in half by a buzzsaw? Well, you sure had to come back next week to see what happened, didn't you? This is a small bit from the original Batman serial featuring the late J. Carroll Nash as the villain.
Save your breath. He is 50 feet away on the other side of the wall. I want to preserve this moment of triumph to the utmost.
Docker's hirelings have someone in that box. Who is it? And Docker's horrible pet alligators are ravenously hungry. Don't fail to see The Executioner Strikes, Chapter 14 of Batman, at this theater next week.
Yep, we had fun at the movies and listening to the radio back then. But there was a serious side, too. Remember when radio brought the events that were both shocking and tearful? On the night of December 11th, 1936, as Big Ben tolled the hour, London cinemas were deserted and New York subways were empty at their usual rush hour. You could almost feel the world quiet down as a famous prince gave up his throne for the woman he loved.
This is Windsor Castle. His Royal Highness, Prince Edward. At long last, I am able to say a few words of my own. I have never wanted to withhold anything. But until now, it has not been constitutionally possible for me to speak. But you must believe me when I tell you that I have found it impossible to carry the heavy burden of responsibility and to discharge my duties as king as I would wish to do without the help and support of the woman I love. And now we all have the new king. I wish him and you, his people, happiness and prosperity with all my heart. God bless you all. God save the king.
In 1927, the young Babe Ruth playing for the New York Yankees set the season's record for home runs by hitting 60 of them in 154 games. Years later, as a sick and aging man, Babe spoke in public for the very last time about the game he loves so much.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You know how bad my voice sounds. Well, it feels just as bad. You know this baseball game of ours comes up from the youth. That means the boy. And after you're a boy and grow up to know how to play ball, then you come to the boy you see representing themselves today in your national pastime. The only real game, I think, in the world, baseball.
On June 10th, 1927, when the NBC radio network was just 7 months old, they broadcast the first world championship fight ever to be heard on network radio. It was the Dempsey-Tunney fight from Soldiers Field in Chicago, and it sounded like this.
Tunney shot a hard left to Dempsey's face, which he follows up with two mean lefts to Dempsey's face. Then he lands a right, and then Dempsey comes back, and now, Tunney is down! Tunney is down from a barrage of lefts and rights to the jaw and the head. The count is going on, Tunney still down. Dempsey is on the other side of the ring now. 8, 9, Tunney is up, and now they're at it again. champion, almost, but not quite. Take it away, Bill.
Yes, not quite, Graham. Gene Tunney has never been knocked down before, but he certainly hit the canvas this time. But Dempsey made the fatal mistake of standing over Gene when he fell instead of backing to the opposite corner. And several very, very valuable seconds elapsed before Dempsey woke up and moved away and let the count go on.
Well, my thoughts wasn't hoping he would ever get up, but unfortunately he did and won the fight, and more power to him. A great boy and a great champion.
In spite of the fact that I was hit seven times in succession in the seventh round in my contest with Jack Dempsey for the World's Heavyweight Championship, was one of my luckiest nights. As a matter of fact, the luckiest night of my life. Yes, I was down. I heard the referee count two. I knew I had to get up, which was part of my professional obligation. But what to do when I got up was the important thing. I decided to stay away from Jack, and it was a very wise decision, as the results showed.
The winner and still heavyweight champion, Gene Tunney!
There can be no doubt about the most famous of all on-the-spot news broadcasts. It took place on May 6, 1937, when an announcer by the name of Hubert Morrison was in Lakehurst, New Jersey, for a simple routine landing of the famous German dirigible, the Hindenburg.
The Hindenburg left Frankfurt, Germany, Tuesday evening, rather, at 7:30, their time. And for better than 2.5 days, they've been speeding through the skies over miles and miles of water here to America. Now they're coming in to make a landing of the Zeppelin. I'm going to step out here and cover it from the outside. So as I move out, we'll just stand by a second. It's starting to rain again. The rain had slacked up a little bit. The back motors of the ship are just holding it... just enough to keep it from... It burst into flames. Get it started. It's rising terrible. Oh, my. Get out of the way, please. It's burning, bursting into flames, and it's falling on the mooring fast, and all the folks agree that this is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. Oh, it's racing. 400 or 500 feet into the sky, and it's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now, and the frame is crashing to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. Oh, the humanity and all the passengers screaming around here. I can't even talk to people whose friends are out there. I can't talk, ladies and gentlemen. Honestly, it's just laying there a mass of smoking wreckage. And everybody can't hardly breathe and talk and screaming. Lady, I'm sorry. Honestly, I can hardly breathe. I'm going to step inside where I cannot see it. Charlie, that's terrible. Listen, folks, I'm going to have to stop for a minute because I've lost my voice. This is the worst thing I've ever witnessed. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back again. I raced down to the burning ship, and just as I walked up to the ship, climbed over the picket line. I met a man coming out, dazed. He couldn't find his way. I grabbed a hold of him. It's Philip Mangone. Philip Mangone, A-N-G-O-N-E, of New York. Philip Mangone, he's burned terribly in the hands, and he's burned terribly in the face, his eyebrows, and all his hair is burned off, but he's walking and talking plainly and distinctly, and he told me he jumped. He jumped with other passengers. Now, there's a Mr. Spey. It sounds like Spey. We're not sure of it. And he also got out. Now, it is my sincere hope the majority of the passengers jumped when it came close to the ground, according to what Mr. Mangone told me. He says, thank God he jumped, and we say thank God for him also.
Some of the past lingers on and then reappears. Really makes you feel old sometimes, doesn't it? Do you remember the incredible story of a giant gorilla that thrilled moviegoers 30 years ago? And sometimes still does on late night TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here tonight to tell you a very strange story. A story so strange that no one will believe it. But ladies and gentlemen, seeing is believing. And we, my partners and I, have brought back the living proof of our adventure. An adventure in which 12 of our party met horrible death. And now, ladies and gentlemen, before I tell you any more, I'm going to show you the greatest thing your eyes have ever beheld. He was a king and a god in the world he knew. But now he comes to civilization, merely a captive. A show to gratify your curiosity. Ladies and gentlemen, look at Kong, the eighth wonder of the world.
Tough Guys became America's big entertainment during the 40s. Here's how, in his first big starring role, the late Emanuel Goldberg, better known as Edward G. Robinson, portrayed Little Caesar, while at the same time, James Cagney in Public Enemy was filling movie theaters across the land.
Boys, I want you to meet a new guy what's going to be with us. This is, Caesar Enrico Vandello. Oh, Little Caesar, huh?
Yeah, sure. You got a drink in the house?
Already? Well, not before breakfast, dear.
But I'd like a tie. I didn't ask you if any lift. I asked you if you had a drink.
I know, Tom, but... Well, yeah, I wish that...
Hey, you go down wishing stuff again. I wish you was a wishing well. But I'd like a tie a bucket to you and sink you.
Maybe you found someone you like better.
Sean Do the Magician used to roam the Saturday afternoon serials. Remember how he got his power from the great yogi teacher far across the sea?
Oh, yogi, my teacher far across the sea, hear me.
My son, dost thou hear my voice?
Yes, yes, I do, my teacher.
Be not afraid, my son. The Uvasti must be destroyed. The Princess Naji be sacrificed. Thy friend must not die.
I'm listening, my teacher.
My son, in thy extremity, remember the high incantation.
High incantation? There, I use that power.
Thou knowest the penalty of its use, my son. Thou alone must decide the necessity. Farewell.
Horror movies were always big at the box office, but somehow they've changed lately. Dracula was the trademark of Bela Lugosi, as was Frankenstein for Boris Karloff. Here now is a segment from the original sound version of Dracula. I would have included Boris Karloff, but as Frankenstein, he never did anything but grunt.
I am Dracula. It's really good to see you. I don't know what happened to the driver and my luggage and... Well, and with all this, I thought I was in the wrong place. I bid you welcome. Listen to them. Children of the night. What music they make. Spider spinning his web for the unwary fly. The blood is the life, Mr. Redfield.
Remember when this sexy siren vamped across the silver screen? In fact, in the 30s, Mae West was banned from radio for her insinuating dialogue. But as recently as 1955, a certain part of a Buick was named after a certain part of Mae.
Boys, education's a great thing. I don't know what I'd do without mine. Knowledge ain't so easy to get. Gotta work hard and study. I'm still studying. Because I don't study the same things you do, but it's a good idea. Now, history is a very fascinating study. In fact, it's my favorite reading. Oh, what's your name?
Lem.
Lem? Tell me, what do you know about Cleopatra?
Gosh, teacher, I ain't seen her.
Of course she ain't. But she's a hysterical character. She lived way back in the early times. What a time she had. She used to fool around with snakes.
You mean rattlesnakes?
These snakes didn't rattle, they crooned. She was the queen of Egypt.
I seen Little Egypt once.
They ain't related. Sit down. Any questions?
Well, we was doing arithmetic on the blackboard.
Oh, arithmetic. I was always pretty good at figures myself.
When kids were a big part of movie entertainment, Shirley Temple was number one.
I can't read this writing. It isn't big enough. Besides, I can't read anyway.
Leo Gorcey and his Tough Guys went under names like the East Side Kids, Dead End Kids, and the Bowery Boys. They made dozens of films, mostly comedies. Well, here's how they sounded in the 40s.
We're up to the wall, Professor.
Oh, good. We've got to go below it. That'll take us under the Chinese joint.
What are you looking for, your laundry? When do we get to the uranium?
Hey, Samson, have you found any uranium yet?
Yeah, Professor. Here's a piece.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can have it.
Oh, thanks. You sure it's uranium?
Sure, look, the white stuff.
Oh, uranium. No more depression. I'm wealthy. Don't tell anybody I got it.
No, just let's keep digging, huh?
Okay.
Since 1926, Charlie Chan has entertained millions of movie and television fans with his uncanny ability for solving the most puzzling mysteries. I'm going to leave you hanging now with that famous Chinese detective. You figure out who the actor is.
Boy, imagine old Hawkeye hitting him from 30 paces.
In darkness, sometimes difficult to distinguish hawk from vulture.
I don't follow you, Pop.
Bullet shot from 30 feet does not leave powder burns.
Powder burns? Say, then Ross must have shot himself.
Quite sure dead man fire at officer?
I'll say I am. If I hadn't yelled, he would have got him.
That only one bullet fire from gun.
One bullet? Then someone must have got in close enough to... But that doesn't make sense. We were all after him, and whoever killed him would have bragged about it.
All but one who wished to remain anonymous.
Now, what you just heard represents over a third of a century. That's almost half a lifetime in what was only a few brief moments. Really, to do justice to all the stars and programs, well, we need at least 35 years. To all the performers and writers, musicians, producers, directors, technicians, and everyone else behind the scenes, we very humbly say thank you for the most enjoyable time we can possibly remember. With a twist of the dial, the world was at our fingertips. Now again, this Peyton Park, borrowing a phrase heard all too often in those days. We're a little late. Good night, folks.